So we pray, gracious Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that you are here in the person of the Holy Ghost, invisible to us, but we know that you proved you are. And we realize it's just as it always was in the days of Moses. People were always discrediting you, Lord, in the days of Jesus when you were in the flesh. They discredited you then, and they discredit you now, even crucifying themselves, you to themselves again, Lord. And we're very sorry that that is the way it is. And yet, Father, if that's the way it must be, then we're glad that's the way it is, because we understand and know these things. And it makes us realize then that there must be a measure of the Holy Ghost in our hearts and lives that would help us to know this. So, Lord, may it not be just a lip service now, but may it be a day-by-day growth in the realization of sincerity, respect and adoration of yourself, O God, until we, our Lord, are really engrossed with you and caught up in you, and all other things just don't seem to matter and really don't matter. They're just here with the using of thereof and will pass away. But we know that you and your word do not pass away, and we, Lord, abiding in you and your word will not pass away either. So help us, Lord, to be fully conscious of the truth this hour and serve you acceptably. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, the message this morning, I'm just going to call it the voice of God. And, of course, you realize this being resurrection morning, we'll be taking the thought brought to us by Brother Branham as to what the voice actually was and is in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 to 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, he's talking to the living. And so this is to us who are living, that you saw or not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, by speaking to us, unto the coming of the Lord, that's the appearing, shall not prevent them, that's take any precedence over them, hinder, go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. And of course the text is, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, Brother Branham used this scripture here to actually outline and reveal the conditions of the rapture. Now, he made the announcement in the On the Wings of a Snow White Dove that he would be preaching on the conditions of the rapture. Not the rapture itself, but the conditions which are outlined here in verse 16, though of course you know that that did embrace the rapture. Now, Brother Branham set forth three events that he said must take place before we rise to meet the Lord in the air, and he said that Jesus himself was responsible for all three, which once for all settles the idea that any of those things which are mentioned here in verse 16 were delegated to the initiative of any person outside of Jesus Christ himself. So number one, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Number two, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel. Number three, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the trump of God, and that is all one descent. It is not three descents. It is the Lord doing, Jesus Christ doing all three himself in descending, because that is what Brother Branham said. Therefore, Jesus himself has to come down from heaven and do three things that required him to use his mouth and his breath, because that is what you are looking at. You are looking at mouth and breath, which in turn would play upon our ears, because it is the oracle, or the speaking from the mouth, the oral phraseology, unto the otic, or the taking by the ear. Now, what he says therefore, or how he uses his breath and his mouth, will constitute to us an understanding and a direction. And we know this to be true because God could not do less than we are required to do ourselves, even with the gifts of Almighty God in the church, which we see in 1 Corinthians 14:6-11. Now, brethren, if I come in unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? And even things without life-giving a sound. Now, that's like a trumpet, see? Whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet, now that takes in the whole picture, not just trumpet alone, but he's talking of that which has to do with the breath, with the mouth. In other words, that which is orally given. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? In other words, where is your understanding and your direction? So likewise you, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For we shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Some significance is there. There's something to it. Everything has got something to it. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Now that's what the Word of God says. So Christ could be a barbarian to us, and we be a barbarian to him. Now let your minds go and understand this, because you see, your minds will say, well, I wouldn't want to say that about Jesus being a barbarian. That's what the Word of God says. So therefore, he does not speak intelligently. If he does not make known his word to us, if he does not give us a direction, then it's like people jabbering in tongues at each other, like a barbarian. And it doesn't mean something crude and something awful, as though that you would say, this is certainly of the devil, and this will bring us to great mischief, and this will do many things. It's just that there isn't any communication. See? There's something lacking. Now let's understand this further as we go to the book of Daniel, and I guess it is the last chapter, chapter 12. And I think I only want, well, I want quite a bit of it, yes, what I've written down here. All right. Beginning at verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now you'll notice right here, this is a very elect group of people that something is going to come to. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, based upon what happens at the time of that book, right? And some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That sounds a little bit like, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun of righteousness rise with healing in his wings. Sounds a little bit like it. Same God. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, not the knowledge of God, knowledge of man. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the river, and the other side of the bank of the river. And one of the men, one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand. Notice this is rivers, this is not waters. Remember the four spirits, the one spirit in his four forms comes up out of waters. Many, many people. This is merely upon rivers. You know, rivers significant is something very different from land, large masses of water. The rivers signify the flowing of light. River of light. He held up his left hand unto heaven and swear of him living forever and ever. And that time should that it should be for time, times and a half. That's your 3.5 year tribulation. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed. In other words, understanding will not take place until a certain book is opened at the end of the time. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly. There again, he that is holy is holy, he is righteous is righteous, he is wicked is wicked. None of the wicked shall understand. Now, it doesn't say that the language will be garbled. It doesn't say that this will be a barbarian speaking to a barbarian, or vice versa, you know how it is, like a barbarian. They won't know. Just like they knew not till the flood took them away. The wise shall understand, and the wise shall understand. We'll see that in the future home. Brother Branham makes a very strong statement on that. And from the time the daily sacrifice be taken away and the abomination of naked death was set up, there shall be 1,290 days. There again, your 3.5 years. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. You've got a few days added there. What it means, I don't know, but there's something in there. That might be a little slip in the resurrection. But go thy way to the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of days. All right. Now, since all scripture must run in continuity, and remember, we're talking about voice. We're talking about communication. We're talking about the fact that all three of this is done by the voice of God himself. Now, since all scripture must run in continuity, and since the rapture must take place at the end of the seventh church age, the age of the Gentiles, this threefold event will follow in the identical pattern. Now, the threefold event we're talking about is the processes of communication. It will follow an identical pattern as set forth in all other six ages, because it's a part of the six ages, seven ages. With one difference, Jesus himself will have to appear and do it. And when he does, it closes time off, brings up the dead, and takes out the bride. Now, here is the continuity of scripture that I spoke of as based in, first of all, Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And we're looking at verses 14, perhaps, and 15. I know that. Whatsoever God doeth, and talking is the process of doing, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. And that simply means the Alpha and Omega principle that Brother Branham taught us. When you see something happening now that happened in the beginning, you know it's the end time, and you better smarten up. Now, that's good communication. What more do you want, Grinnickel? God's opened this whole thing to us. All right, simple. Next thing. That which hath been is now. Notice the repeat. You do not get messed up. There's no need for it. You're warned. It's categorized. The wayfaring man, though a fool, need not err therein. How can you discern the sky out there and not know this? The transfer of knowledge is a legitimate psychological process if you apply it this way. Not just because you can do mathematics, you can do artwork because you can't. I'm a fair mathematician. My artwork is horrible. Don't mention it. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. In other words, God has worked up a pattern which should be habitual to the church. You know something? I have a big mirror up here. I'd like you to look at yourselves. You are a few of the few people who know what this is about. So don't go throwing mud at yourselves. Congratulate yourselves. You know, a brother said to me one time, and it was a very good question he asked me, and I don't blame him because he didn't understand. He said, Brother Bill, don't he said the way you talk about your people, how you think they're the greatest, and he said, don't you think maybe that would bother some preacher? I just have this to say to you people, or especially you that attend here. You are the greatest. And the people that attend some other pastor, and if they're not the greatest to him, you better get converted. Or get a new bunch of sheep. Love you. Love all you folks. You know why? Because we all believe the one word of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which demands somebody came down from heaven. He hasn't gone. I'm a little excited at times. I'm not shift over the word. Too old to get excited about anything else. Not even a good roast beef sandwich. Dip a good chocolate ice cream. Yeah, running around the country. Forget it. I've seen the Alps. Norway's twice as nice. Nothing like this. That's why I can get 3 hours sleep and feel great. Keep coming back. This message will cure anybody. All right, listen. Now, since all Scripture must run in continuity, and since the rapture takes place at the end of the seventh church age, this threefold event will follow in the identical pattern set forth in all other six ages, with this one difference: Jesus himself will appear to do it, and when he does, time closes off, brings in the millennium, the dead are raised up, and so on, he takes out a bride. And the continuity we saw was set forth in Ecclesiastes 3:14-15, and now notice the examples beginning in the book of Revelation of the church ages. We skip it and do it rapidly. Number 1, Ephesians chapter 2 and 1, unto the angel, the messenger, which is in the church at Ephesus, these things write. 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Number 8, unto the messenger, which is in the church of Smyrna, write. These things set the first and last. Of verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Number 12, unto the messenger of the church which is in Pergamos, these things says he. And down into the 17th verse, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Verse 18, unto the messenger in Thyatira, and unto 29, he that hath an ear. Chapter 3 and 1, and 6, and 7, and verse 13, then 14 in chapter 3. Unto the messenger, which is in the church of Laodicea, write, these things saith the Amen. And in verse 22, he that hath an ear, let him hear. So therefore, it is oracular again. It is a process of speaking. It is a process of hearing, and he says he is doing it. So therefore, you can understand that this falls at the end of the seventh church age, and it will be a process of the Holy Ghost himself bringing a divine something or other, a process of words, which will bring illumination, which will bring understanding, and with it there must be direction, or what is the use of illumination? For the Bible distinctly says that which manifests is light. And you only know there's light because you can see something. So it falls in perfect continuity is what we've been reading. Now, since one cannot deny the continuity of Scripture, and at the same time know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:51-55, just hold it and I'll read it to you, which elaborates 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and into right through the 18, we see the end of the seventh age produces a resurrection and immortality. And then in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, a rapture. And this makes it all in perfect accord with what we read in Ephesians 1:15-22. And of course, at what we see in Ephesians 1:20-22 is actually Revelation 3:20-21. Now let me go over it for you carefully because we're going to read the scripture. Since we set up a pattern of continuity and we see exactly what we see, which is God has made himself available to the people somehow by his own voice and his own word and what instruments he uses by his own discretion. He himself does it in his own way, which is scripturally set out for us. And he communicates his directives to us, which are the conditions which are going to get us off this earth. You understand what I'm saying? All right. We cannot deny the continuity of Scripture. We saw it illustrated. At this same time, we know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:51. So let's read it. Behold, I show you a mystery. Shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall not be changed. For this corruptible must put an incorruption or incorruptibility. This mortality must brought in immortality. So when this corruptibility, and he's talking about the human body, shall have put on incorruptibility, and this mortality shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying is written, death is swallowed up in a victory. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? And this, and this, of course, is what you saw over here in 1 Thessalonians, Paul speaking, 4 and 16. And he said, for the Lord himself shall descend them with a shout. Well, let's go back a little bit here. For this is handed by the word of the Lord, that's the 15th verse, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not take precedence over them which are asleep, or prevent, or whatever you want to say. For the Lord himself shall descend them with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, Paul describes in 1 Corinthians how we get caught up though living. It is laid out here in the scripture. Now, this, of course, what we're looking at is exactly what Paul says in Ephesians, the first chapter, when he puts it all together. A church in church order, a church full of the Holy Ghost. Here is what he says in verse 15. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. A heavenly discourse by the heavenly discourser. Going to impart knowledge and understanding. Who did that? John the Baptist. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. It's always been our calling before, but now it's his. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. According to the working mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now, what is the knowledge necessary for? It is not for the dead, it is for the living. And what is it, what's it going to do for the living? When the dead get off the earth, the living get off the earth. So therefore, this is conditional to the literal rapture. As Brother Branham said, the conditioned rapture. So this absolutely would have to be whatever comes in 1 Thessalonians 4. This must be the first step. Now, you show me a church age that doesn't have a message and a messenger that people are to listen to. So you see that this fits in according to the word of God, which says God's ways cannot change, and which God has shown us by scripture has not changed. From Genesis to Revelation, the word of God is perfect in continuity because we're dealing with a perfect God. Now, I said from Genesis to Revelation. So let's go to Revelation chapter 20. chapter 3, I beg your pardon. The seventh church age, 20 to 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Now, how in the world are you going to sup with Jesus Christ? Why, he said, the flesh that I give you is the bread. And he said, the word of God is the bread. And so it tells you right here, he's going to come right down to the church, get back into his church, and he's going to break the bread of life to them. And they are going to eat with him. In other words, the same as Moses. When he called down the manna, he ate the same manna they ate. And so does this one here. And his brother Branham so beautifully said, feed the Christ within you. We don't even think of that. Well, why would Christ need feeding? He's a great feeder. Not in us. He needs to be fed too. See why I say we believe this word and nothing else to do the job? If you're looking to me, anything I can say, I thank you and appreciate the fact you're looking to me as a mediator that God has. Or something intermediate, rather. Not immediate, but intermediate. So that I can help you with the prophet's message. That's why I cannot understand that people cannot get together and discuss this word. What are you doing with yourself? Why is it so important outside of this word? And I pray myself before you because I'm the biggest jerk of the whole bunch of you. Because I know as none of you sitting here know. And that's the truth, and you know it. If you knew what I knew, you'd be up here and I'd be sitting down here. But you don't know what I know. And you can't know what I know. Because of the ministry involved in it. I'm not boasting. You do what you want. Goodbye right at this minute. I'm standing. I know what I know. I'm telling you God's truth. I weave it back and forth in Scripture. I challenge anybody living to prove me wrong. Nobody can take a challenge because they can't prove anything any more than I can. For there's a day. And he's judging right now in that day. That's why White Throne is here. Get that fact. Don't you think you're going down the road. You're going to meet a future. You ain't got no future to me. Look in the mirror, kid. What you see is what you met. That's right. I'm sorry. That's the truth. Don't play around. There's no time to play around. Is this word doing people good? You bet it's doing good. You never saw me so soft in all your life. I hit hard with the word. It's not in the head. It's in the heart. Listen, I'm going to supper to you. To him that overcometh. Overcomes what? Overcomes your own thinking. Overcomes your own word when he sits down to tell you the word. Isn't it great? No longer sitting on a mercy seat up there, so to speak, though he really is on the throne, the Jesus himself. We're talking about the physical. Isn't it nice to know that his Father, that he himself, the real God that was tabernacled, is now not sitting on a throne, but he's sitting down here conversing with the church. Perfectly relaxed at ease. That's where you like to eat. Sit around the table and eat. Breakfast, dinner, supper. Loaded with the Word of God. Friday night, be glad in the hall's ready. You can, quicker the better, get in there and start talking the Word of God, talking in your home, doing it. Him that overcometh, his own thinking, his own word, his own self. Told you before, so many fine men, lovely, sweet men, and older men, they are the pain in the neck. Well, Brother Dale, I had a vision too. Oh, God. I don't care if you had 1,000 visions, never had one, thus saith the Lord of a prophet. How can you compare a sperm to a grown giant? Can't even see the stinking little thing. It takes 15,000 to go across the diameter of one hair. Goliath was, what, 14, 15 feet tall, or worse. One little vision was a god, yes. But one little vision, brother, sister, any more than one swallow does not make a spring, or one drop of water doesn't make a river, neither does one little vision do one thing when compared to a prophet of God with the word. I guess they don't like me for that. I have different visions. Just like I'm looking at you, technicolor, come right to pass. Fine, nice. What'd they do for me? Scared the living daylights out of me. Didn't do a thing for me other than that. I appreciate what the Lord did, but I'm trying to show you something here that we are comparing. But when the prophet spoke, something said, that's what you listen to. See? That's what really counts. Him that overcometh his own thinking, his own whims, his own ideas, his own perversity, in the sense that he wants to be somebody. Don't be anybody, people. An old Dr. Beskin, the old converted Jew, he said, don't ever, I don't agree with him. He said, don't ever sing a song. He said, Lord, make me nothing. You already are nothing, he said. Ask him to make you something. But Jesus didn't say that. He said, a man thinks himself to be something, he is nothing. And he turns away the fool, but he encourages the empty and the hungry that he might fill them. He doesn't sit around with the 99 just people who think they've got it all. He goes and looks for the poor old bum sinner that knows he hasn't got it. He says, oh God, can you help me somehow? That's how we stand this morning in this church. If you stand up in what I'm preaching this morning, you ain't heard of Evail enough. You come by and I'll bring my shillelagh. We'll have a special St. Patrick's Day for you to cast out your wrong thinking. Yeah, I mean it. I laugh about it, but I'm truthful about it. I want to soften the blow. Nobody has any. There's no great ones amongst us. There's no leadership here but the Holy Ghost by the grace of God. If I'm trying to lead you, I'm leading you astray just as sure as I'm knee-high to a grasshopper. And I'm not being emotional, I'm just telling you the truth. Because I have got to face it, and I am facing it by the grace of God. Even he said, here you can sit with me in my throne, even as I sat with my Father in his throne, sat down. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Now, there can be absolutely no doubt that all this takes place. That's 1 Thessalonians. Shout, voice, and trumpet. While the Lord himself is down here on earth. And this in turn will take us to meet the Lord in the air. For the Lord himself shall descend all the way down. And he did. There it is, and there it is. But the one we meet in the air does not come all the way down. In fact, he's on his Father's throne right now. And we cannot make a move. And remember, let's face it again, everything's in a dimension. One of the most important things Brother Branham ever said was to get us into their understanding of dimension. And we haven't preached in this pulpit. We just leak a little here and leak there because I've never really studied it. But I'm beginning to see more and more everything is in a dimension. And heaven itself merely means an elevated place. See, so when you're looking at understanding things like this, it means you're moving more and more into the dimension that God wants us in. And he said they're all out here just moving around. We can't see them. So let's not get caught up with too many things. Let's just stick with the Word. Now, Jesus is here then in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire to do all these three things that Brother Branham said he would do. Now, all this has been said, what I've said here, is to lay a foundation or basis for other comments which we're going to bring to you. And the basis or premise is this. Voice, or rather shout, voice, trumpet, are categorically of themselves and by themselves, regardless of what they accomplish, and they accomplish three different things. I say, each and every one, shout, voice, trumpet, has to do with God himself by the breath of his mouth. Because unless there's life working on the trumpet, ain't nothing to it. There's only one life, and that's God. He's going to do all three. Now, regardless of what others may say, the vindicated prophet by thus saith the Lord, and we see in the Holy Scripture, the Lord himself appears in this hour with his own revelation, his own command to raise the dead, and his own calling to the wedding supper. Just as Jehovah, who can't change himself in his ways, appeared to Moses in the first Exodus. Did God do it or did he not? He did it. God didn't say, I'm going to have somebody deliver you as though God was not doing the deliverance. God said, I'm going to go down and bring you up and take care of you. Now, somebody might have to stand there, which is all right. Now, according to Brother Branham, the shout is both the Logos and the Rhema. The Logos is God in manifestation. And the Rhema is the word particularly in the sense of a definitive expression. So, what you see here is Logos, the pillar of fire. The camera caught it. Now, from the Logos, there must come Rhema, which is the verbal expression or the verbalizing of what is in the mind of the Logos. See? So, according to Brother Branham, the shout is the Logos and Rhema of God, wherein God uses the prophet as of Malachi 4, 5, and 6, and as of Revelation 10, 1, and 7. So, let us go back here to Malachi. And we read it so many times, it's almost... It's not wasted to read it again, but you know, it does take time, especially to find it in a new Bible. Either go too far one direction or the other. I should actually quote it to you, but by the time I start quoting, I'll muff it. All right. It says here, the first 5 and 6, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. In other words, the day of the Lord turns into the dreadful part. And he shall turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, because the first part's already been done, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, you notice in there that in verse 1 of the same chapter, For behold, the day cometh, shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall neither leave them, neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of feet. In the day that I do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, in the day that God is going to do this, he said, I am going to descend with a shout. Because he said, Elijah is going to do it. Now, this, of course, absolutely lines with the book of Deuteronomy, wherein God says, I will no longer speak to the people myself, but I yet will speak to the people myself through a prophet that I choose and I vindicate. Now, there is where Brother Branham came and really set the world church on its ear. They couldn't take it. Right at that point, a mud ball hit them slap bang into both ears. He ain't no prophet. That did it. Just like the Pharisees, when Christ withstood them, or rather it was Stephen, they gnashed with their teeth and they turned on him to kill him. So Christ is crucified the second time to themselves because of the word. We showed you that last night. The contrariness of people makes the cross, because the cross is contrary. Now, let's look then, because it's oracular, it has to do with the oral, the verbalization. We can look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16 again. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we see those results there. And with it, we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and 23. Now, this is all elementary, but it's part of the message. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Surely one shall say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength, even him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Now God says, I am saying this, and nobody heard a word except one man, because Isaiah wrote the book. Right? All right, I ask you a question. Does God change his ways? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 48, and we read 12 to 18. Hearken unto me, O Jacob, and Israel my called, my elect. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Alpha and Omega principle of what God is and how God does things. He said, listen to me. Well, okay, God, I'm here. I'll hear things. Why shouldn't God talk to me? Because he said he wasn't going to. He told you how he's going to do it. You ever listen, we all worked for a boss at one time. So, what happens to the first man that tells the boss how he's going to do things? Out the door. But everybody thinks he can tell God something. It's strange, isn't it? Church does it all the time. Mine hand also has laid the foundation here, so this is God speaking. And my right hand has spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. They're scared stiff. They obey every command. His word is their command. All ye assemble yourselves and hear. Which among you hath declared these things? Who can say you're God? Who can say you're Creator? Who can say he's a prophet? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I have spoken. Yea, I have called him. I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me. Hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. Was he secret to Adam and Eve? He was not secret. He met him face to face and told him face to face. Told the serpent face to face. The time that it was, there I am, and now the Lord God in his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. Oh, that thou hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. What do you get for listening? Everything that God is and God has. Thy seed also has been in the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name shall not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. He's talking about the unborn ones that come from the womb, but from the soil also, because it all comes from the ground. That's as far as we need to read. Okay, now, let's look at the second part. That takes care of the shout. Let's look at the voice. The voice of God, as Brother Branham delineated, is the raising of the dead, and the consequent changing of the living to immortality, as seen in John 5 and 25. So let's look at John 5. We're going to see the voice of God again. Somebody talking, and that person is deity, not a man. Now, if he wanted to transfer that role to somebody and say, come back from the dead, God could do that, because that's his right with the prophet or the minister. 5 and 25. And it says here, verily I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now he said, it's coming and now is. That's the part of the first resurrection took place back there. The second part's going to happen very, very slow, very soon. Listen to it again in John 11, 26, 27. Whoso liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Or that's better read 25 first. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he proved it by raising Lazarus. And he said, there are those who will not die. Now he said, you believe this. In other words, there comes a time when the bride of Christ believes the simple promise, this is the hour I don't die. This is part of that generation. All right, thirdly, the trumpet call. Let's go to the book of Joel. And we might see something there about a trumpet. In the second chapter, verses 15 and 16, is what we'll look at. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Let me simply set them apart. Assemble the elders. Gather the children. And those that suck the breath. Let the bridegroom, talking about the rapture, go forth of the chamber. And the bride out of her closet. How many people are going to be in that assembly? The elders. The children, the tiny babies. That must answer some questions right there. There's a big promise that God gives you. Can I believe it? You are a believer, aren't you? You're a believer. Thus we see the breath or the voice of the Lord God Himself is doing all this. Though in part, He is represented by Elijah. As we well see the Word of God in Hebrews, the first chapter, we read it many, many times, Brother Brown's favorite, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past in the fathers, many parts and many ways, God was in the prophets, speaking to the fathers, hath in these last days spoken unto us in son, in the form of sonship, and in the form of sonship, takes over all creation. What we have seen in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is the winding up. The finality of the final voice as we know it on earth, according to Hebrews 12, once more the one in heaven will speak, then everything is all over, except what he himself has confirmed by his own word. And that voice has done and is now doing, that's the last voice, we're hearing in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, has done and now doing, and will do, whatever it has previously done. It won't do anything different. Alpha, Omega cannot introduce anything to Omega. I beg your pardon. Omega cannot introduce anything to Alpha, or it is wrong. You're adding to the word. It's been done previously. The Bible said so. And God's obligated to do it again, and we're obligated to believe it. So what we're looking at in this principle of the breath and the mouth of God is that we can see in the Word what has always gone on and what is going on now. And I'll try to run through this quickly because I don't want to take too much time. Now, number one. In Genesis 1:26-29, we better look at this carefully. This man is one man in whom is the female and the male spirit in a spirit form. God is saying to them, or concerning them, let us make man our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, the cattle, all creeping things, over the creeping things that creep upon the earth. So God created man his own image, and man created him, made him female, created them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, take dominion over the earth, and so on and so on. Now, what I want you to notice there is that God's voice positioned man and set him as a ruler even over the entire universe, though it's not mentioned there, because he is going to be a part of the holy city. And Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, you will sit with me in my throne as I am set down in my Father's. So therefore, number one, the first thing that the voice of God did was position mankind to the highest and the greatest order that there is. And that order, of course, is New Jerusalem, according to Revelation 21:9-11. I want to show you the bride as she comes down, the New Jerusalem adorned as a bride. She is a bride coming down out of heaven. This coincides also with the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, 14-17, that God has made us sons, and he's made us to suffer, like we saw last night in the cross, in order to overcome, in order to be with him in complete rulership over the entire universe of Almighty God. All right, that's number one there. Number two, it was the voice of God that positioned man and set him over the earth until he could set him over the universe. And that's in Genesis 2:16-17, where a man is now put into a human form, and Eve, and they're told to take dominion over all the things of this earth. And so it will be as we go to the millennium, which we did not finish out. Then we go to the universe. Number three, it was the voice of God that discovered man to what his condition was and what his times were after the fall. Let's go to Genesis, the 3rd chapter now. And in 3rd chapter 8-19, we're going to have to read it all. The voice of the Lord God was walking in the garden. They hid themselves. And the Lord called, where are you, Adam? He said, I was naked, so I was afraid and hid myself. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you, I should not eat? The man said, the woman gave me, and I did eat. And the woman said, well, the serpent seduced me, right down the line. Now, we could go all the way down where he reads concerning the fact of the enmity. And you're going to have to serve your husband. You're going to bear children. And you'll bear them in sorrow. And you'll bear multiple births where you wouldn't have multiple births. If every woman had stayed in her line from the time on down and children born, everyone would have been the seed of God through the human structure of Adam and Eve. And there would not have been many born at all. Because many more are the children of the disobedient in the earthly cities than those that belong to the city of God. But her conception was multiplied. So any woman, as we saw in the case of Rebecca, could have one good and one bad come out of one insemination. They weren't identical twins. But they sure were messed. One was sure messed up. In fact, even the good one had a problem, which is perfectly legal. Okay. We're looking at this then, and we see that this man was told concerning his condition and told what his status would be in that particular area. So it is in Ephesians, the 1st chapter, where we read. And it's the voice of God that comes down and gives us our status, which makes us to know not a fallen condition, but a relationship to Almighty God, where we are his own, and we and he who inherited his name is in us. As Brother Branham said, you are Mrs. Jesus. Now, I'm just cutting this right back because I'm going to get you out of here. And in the 3rd of Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verse 14, it tells you the great one, the Amen. He positions man. He said, look, you think you're rich, but he said, you're not rich. He said, in contrary to the fact that you think you've got everything, that you are positioned, he said, I'm going to show you your position. You are wretched. You are miserable. You are naked. You are blind. You are a harlot. And today there are more harlots than legitimate virgin wives. And women that are married, even when virgins, are now dissatisfied. They're running around with men. And women are having babies all over the place. Some even by male insemination, but not by actual cohabitation, because they want a baby. Read the article recently about a woman, a doctor, a psychologist. She decided at age 36 she must have a baby because she couldn't find the man she wanted. She says, I just live with somebody, sleep with somebody. Then she says, he might want to come and see the child. So she inseminated artificially. Finally worked. So she had a baby. She's very, very happy. Now I understand the baby has a disease he's born with and he'll die. After finding the spot. See where you're at today. God positioned by his word. And who wants to believe the church is a bunch of harlots? You think for one moment the church wants to believe its hierarchy is a bunch of dogs in the sight of God? Our great presbyter, no different from the Pope. I don't care if you call him Pope or presbyter elder, or you call him the president, or you call him this or you call him that. It doesn't make any difference. It's all the vicar of Christ stuff. It's all the same hogwash. It's all blaspheming the word of Almighty God. Number four, it was the voice of God that revealed the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness. When God said to Cain, you have offered right, but you have divided wrong. He said it over here in John, 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and he says it in Malachi 3:16, at that day you will know the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness and who serves God and who doesn't serve God. What did it? The voice of God did it. Five. It was the voice of God in grace that warned Noah and the righteous before the flood and gave them a way of escape. Is that not true? How did Noah know God spoke? What about the last day as it was in the days of Noah? It'll be again. Number six, it was the voice of God that separated the elect from the non-elect. Genesis, the 12th chapter. 1-3. And the Lord said to Abraham, get out of this country and from your kindred, from your father's house, it's abominated. I'm going to make you a nation. It was God's voice to separate the elect from the non-elect. Jesus reiterated, he said, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. Number seven, it was the voice of God that saved the righteous from the death of the wicked. For God came down, and Abraham said, Lord, will you destroy the righteous wicked? And he said, I will never destroy any righteous with the wicked, period. Abraham said, well, listen to me. He said, could you do it for 50 or 100? He said, why, piece of cake. He got down to 10. And you know what God pulled out of there? 3. And the two girls that looked back, he pulled out 1. And if that fellow would have looked back, he'd let him die with him. But Abraham was still safe. Abraham only saw the smoke. He never saw the destruction. Next morning he rose up, the smoke was going up. It was the voice of God, therefore, to save the righteous. What about Luke 17 when Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah come back to us? Well, whose voice did it then? God did. How did God come? He came in a logos. And talk to your prophet. And so we could go on and on. And you know we could. I just didn't take time to look it all up. God always speaks. Always God speaks. But few listen. Today it's the same. God has spoken very clearly in this hour. And he has vindicated his word. That he has spoken. Vindication needs no further proof. Vindication is the proof. There's where this church is stuck. And everybody I know is stuck. We cannot understand the power of vindication. As Jesus said, when he vindicated what he could do, he said, that tree was cursed. You saw the results. Now you pray, you believe, you will get it. And they said, hallelujah. And they turned the world upside down. And we cannot today. Something wrong with us somewhere. Take the vindication of that man. Thus saith the Lord. I saw it time after time. I saw it demonstrated before me one time in 1958 what would be in his ministry. And it was. A little child was running around, a little idiot child. He couldn't keep in the building. Brother Branham said, just keep him outside the door when I come through tonight, Lee. Just let me see the boy, the little boy. Soon as brother, so I stood outside all that night, listened by the door, took care of things, waited for the little boy, for the brother man to come. I quickly told the boy to come, and the little kid came. And soon as brother Branham came, she looked back in terror, devil in the kid. He laid his hand simply, like a smile on the side. The smile was there and the sigh was there. And he said, Lee, that is a picture of the ministry. Vindication, brother, sister, you don't need anymore. You don't even need to worry about your prayers. I don't need to worry about my prayers. We don't need to worry about anything when proof is proof, my brother, my sister. Don't we understand? And the answer is, God, help us to understand. Now, we can't be whirling dervishes with this. We can be built up on the most holy faith in the inner man and know the rapture is at hand. Now, from what we have just looked into, we have only one conclusion. God's word out of God's mouth is the source of all revelation, authority, and power, and that is what 1 Thessalonians 4:16 is all about, and that is what the resurrection and the rapture is all about. God has come down with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and by the breath of the words of his mouth, he is doing it. Now listen to Isaiah chapter 55, and we read it so many times and love it, and it's sort of like a little bit of, what would you say? A little palliative thing when we have our problems, and instead of the great sword that God has put in our hands. Listen, we read beginning in verse 10 in chapter 55. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that be that shall go forth out of my mouth, or go forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I set it. Now that's what God says. The Lord himself, I'm going to come down with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and believe me, what I tell you is going to come to pass. Well, just a minute, Lord, I think maybe we got something to say about this. He says, shut up, you ain't got a thing to say about it. And the nice of you say, well, Lord, there's something I'm going to do about it. Oh, he said, why don't you just shut up and get out of my way? What are you going to do about my word? There's only one thing you and I can be about that word, and that is ground. Ground, ground, ground. Dirt, dirt, dirt. Dust, dust, dust. Clay, clay, clay. Muck, muck, muck. Yeah. That's all. I'm the husbandry of God. I'm a farmland. I've never seen a farmland yet that the farmer didn't get into shape to do the work, sow the seed. Then he had to leave the rest up to the God who stood behind it all. Now he said, my word will not return void. It's going to accomplish. It's going to prosper where I sent it to prosper. For you shall go with joy and be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. And the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That's got to be the millennium. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. That's got to be the millennium. Instead of the briar. That's the curse. It's over. The myrtle tree. That's a green tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. In other words, what God does here proves the validity of his name. And his name was proved as to his validity right there. So, how can the vindicated word of God fail? It cannot fail. The sermon that Brother Branham preached cannot fail. God does things, this, all these three, by his word. And in the process of how he's used to doing it. Hear the prophecy of Job. Job 14:14-15. Way back here in the ancient times of the Bible. 1,500 years at least before Christ. Maybe a whole lot more. They say it's the most ancient book, so I don't know. It's way, way back before Jesus. Now he said, if a man die, shall he live again? Now watch what he says. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. But it's going to come. I got to wait for it, but it's going to come. Thou shalt call. God, you will open your mouth and speak. You will use the breath of your lungs, the words of your mouth, coming forth out of your mind, because you know all things. Thou shalt call, and I will answer. I'm not going to stay there, because you're going to call me. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thy hands. The only place that God ever used his hands, to my knowledge, is the forming of the human body. Everything else he spoke. You say, God's going to want my human body? Certainly he wants you to be saved. He wants you full of the Holy Ghost. Then he wants to get you out of the ground. First of all, he wants to get us out of our stupid Laodicean mess. He wants to get the priests out of the Nicolaitans, but they're not going to move. I sit here and chat. Tell you after this morning. Tell you that. The preachers aren't going to move. You've heard me say for years and years, we are all getting crystallized. And I am getting more and more crystallized to be more and more independent of everybody, but I hope not of God. More and more getting you, if I hope. I hope we can get you more and more independent of everybody except God. You'll understand the things of God. You're not going to change the ministry, you people. You're not going to change me. Don't bother trying. I'm going to try to change you. I'm not always trying. Won't be done. Unless God does it. You know, God gives willing hearts, you know. We're not sitting here with a bunch of unwilling hearts. We're just a little confused at times. So today the prophet said, concerning what Job looked forward to see his Redeemer stand upon this earth and he stand with him. Brother Branham said this, that the Holy Spirit comes down and sets himself at the head of the church in order to raise the dead. We saw that in 1 Corinthians 15. Every word of God that was prophetically spoken was fulfilled in its proper order, but thus saith the Lord. So will the voice of God raise the dead in our appointed time. Five major visions, all but two, have taken place, and those two are taking place since GM paid $12 billion for the Hughes technology for the car they can put on the road that's controlled by the tower. Electro impulses. It's already here, the car that Brother Branham saw. And the Catholic Church already controls America. She's controlling the world. We've sold out everything to the whore and the whoremongers. Don't try to think you're going to beat it. Think nice thoughts. So my mother, listen, I don't care about your mother. I'm talking about God this morning. If you think you can interpose your mother with me, you've got another thought coming. My mother all her life, she used to pray the Apostles' Creed. My God in heaven. The Apostles' Creed is pure blasphemy. Don't talk to me about loved ones. I don't have any. Nor does my wife, if she's got an ounce of brains, I think she has. I'm talking now in the totalitarian sense, my brother, sister. Let every mouth become dumb before the Word of God. And every imagination still and every reasoning put to one side. What a job we have. This is that battle of Armageddon, brother, sister. Our Armageddon is in our mind there. That's coming on the world. Pools, rivers of blood to flow. Which way do you want to go? Brother Branham said, so truthfully, he said, I don't want to be in that tribulation even for 1 minute. Let me get a little warning out of Hebrews 3 here, because that's the Exodus period that Paul is speaking of here concerning the Hebrews. And we're still on the resurrection, aren't we? We're not off the resurrection. See, because this is the hour that we know, commemorating the day that he rose and he's risen to us in a spiritual resurrection, and pretty soon now comes the physical. We believe that. All right. 3:7. Wherefore, if the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, and you can't hear his voice unless his voice is in speaking order. And by speaking order, I mean it's the hour in which to speak. And it's Exodus time. Always in Exodus time. Always, always, always. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, put me to the test, saw my works 40 years, but they wanted their own. Yeah. Give us a sign. Give us a sign we want. See? What church in the 20th century had the signs? Pentecost. What had the signs at the time of Jesus? Israel and the Pharisees, their sons were casting out devils. Who said this man is a devil? Give us our sign. Who's saying it is? Pentecostals. The Alpha's not Omega. Word of God's not true. I'm not speaking condemnation, dear hearts. I'm speaking the wisdom of God to give you strength and happiness this morning. Let every other person's heart fail with fear. What's that got to do with you? The old song, if my loved ones won't go with me, I'll not turn back. If the preacher won't go, fine, let the congregation go on. There is no reserved seat in this lifeboat for anything but the elect. And let me tell you, as the Bible says, naked you come into the world and naked you go. So with this message, you were naked. God said so. And you will go naked of your own self to be clothed with Him. They proved me, tested me, put me to the test, tried me. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they always are in their heart, they're crystallized. They've not known my ways. They'll never know them. So I got angry. I made another oath. You're not going to come in. There's no rest for you. There's no peace. See what I'm driving at? If we can just learn to take the prophet's message right down the line, there's got to be nothing but peace. And peace like a river will attend my ways, though trials like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, whatever cross, I'm well able to say, it is well. It is well with my soul because God has said it and it won't return void. I am coming back to Him as the fulfillment of His word in this hour. Oh, you can see why Brother Branham said you're part of the word. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin, unbelief. For we are made companions of Christ if we hold fast the confidence, or steadfast, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, or steadfast unto the end. In other words, you don't start this message and turn back like lost wife. While it is said today, today if you'll hear His voice, are you going to hear His voice? Moses was the voice of God to the people. So there's got to be a voice today. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, for some when they heard did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt Moses, but by whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? That's the dividing of carcasses. The filthy birds come for the bad carcasses. The eagle come for the good ones. And to whom swear they should not enter His rest, but they that believe not. How are you going to get the millennium if you turn down the prophet? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. According to verse 8, we read it. Harden not your hearts in the provocation. According to verse 8, they could not keep their hearts open and tender to the promise of the land that lay before them. How many of us are able to keep our hearts tender and open to the word of God? No, the preacher's got to beat on the congregation. You know, the Bible said, blessed is that servant who giveth the meat in due season. I want to be a blessed servant. That's all I'm obligated to do for you. I'm obligated to visit you too. If I had the strength of a young man, I'd love pastoring again. I never liked it before. I love it. I meet with you often, see the same people, visit your homes, everything else. Visit the sick and the afflicted, do those things you can. It's not a social society. It's a needy society, meeting the people's needs. I'm not trying to make myself a great man, but look, I have been on the road and around long enough to know, to be able to tell you what is going on, and I do not like what's going on because it's wrong, 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 and we want to be right, right, right. And Brother Branham categorically said it takes a bad woman to make the good woman look good. If you don't see a lot of this stuff around here, then how are you going to know a decent woman you see one? Let's keep our hearts tender toward the promise of the resurrection, and that is all it is. It is simply a promise. It is nothing more than a promise. I'll explain it to you. God's proven His Scripture, that's true. That's why it's a promise you can believe on. But consider Jesus. In no way could He actually prove anything, though He had already proven all things. Hear what I said? There is no way He could prove anything, though He'd already proven all things. He aligned perfect with the Word of God, but He couldn't prove a thing. They could not have resurrection faith, even though He told them. They had to see Him come back from the dead. We are in the same position. I know. You're thinking, hey, we're not, but we are. Has Brother Branham come back from the dead? He hasn't come back. If you really believe what I'm talking about, He's going to be the first one back. We believe that. But do we really know it? Nobody really knows anything. Everything we have is set before us on the Word of God. Men will debate it. Men will hate it. And they will say they're crazy. They will sit by and figure their own things out. While we sit by and we say, hey, listen, I saw a vindicated man. What can you offer me? Then comes the tirade. Then comes the blasphemy. Then comes all the outpouring of their ignorance, their spiritual damnations within them. While they tell you, and I say, for God's sake, shut up, you make me sick. Little pipsqueak, you haven't been where I've been. I've been nowhere. Except in all the bad corners. And all the bad beer joints. Oh, I never drunk beer in my life. Illustrating. All the honky-tonks. Can't tell them anything. There's no way you can. But let's get down to the truth, brother, sister. Let me tell you the truth. The disciples could not believe that He would rise from the dead. What happened? The promise overtook them. Let me read out of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and in the second verse. And you will understand with me, I believe, a little more the resurrection hour in which we live. This is on the Mount Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing in contradiction to the Mount Abel of cursing. Now, 28, 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and do, get His directives. See, what the prophet laid before, both male and female. All the commandments commanded thee. And he said, after you open the seventh seal, all you had to do was just be good, quiet, loving Christians. The Lord God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Going to take you right to New Jerusalem. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. If you just listen to the voice, you're not going to work it out. You haven't got a prayer trying to figure it. There's no way you're going to do it. I'm not going to do it. They're going to overtake you the way the resurrection overtook the disciples. They were walking disconsolate one day down the Emmaus Road, and the resurrection appeared. And He began talking. And they couldn't believe it even then. But He did the sign of the resurrection, and they knew. And they saw. Brothers, just let me tell you, you cannot get the full impact and the scope of any promise of God until it's devolved upon us by God. Therefore, revel in the shout of all things. Talk the shout. Live the shout. Do everything with the shout. Believe the shout. The promise shall overtake you. We were standing here, ignorant of the things of God, not knowing Elijah would come, only knowing something would happen. What happened? It overtook us. As I told you many times, I sat there and watched Brother Branham. Heard the voice of God speak to that man, saw those miracles that no man could do, only God could do. And something inside me verbiated, if you ever listen to any man, listen to that man. If you ever hear anything from God, you will hear it from a man. For the Lord Himself did descend with the shout. I can't figure why the preachers aren't excited, the people aren't excited that He is here. If you can't believe that, how are you going to get with the Word of God? Tell me. Got a preacher sitting here, he knows. He's got relatives, can't even believe the white throne's here. You got to settle your hearts and minds, the prophet is right, brother, sister. And when you do, it shall overtake thee. So will this resurrection overtake us by the voice of God, which we have already heard in the prophet, bringing us the shout. And as God's promise, His spoken word of this hour overtakes us, so will the great tribulation overtake those. The Bible says that. Because they believe not. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. You'll turn your hearts back to the Father, as it was in the days of Noah. Enoch was not, because God took him. You see what I'm trying to say this morning about the Word of God, the voice of God? It's already standing right here at the exact moment the last one is in and child trained. If you love that word this morning, brother, sister, you're like me, you love it, but you don't love it as you ought to love it. We know one thing, we're sold out as far as we know we're sold out. There's no place else to go. We've come to live or die, sink or swim. I got to admit it. If I was tortured to the point where I said, well, I don't believe it after all, it'd still be down in here. My mouth would lie, but my heart couldn't. Because can torture change the fact that I don't know anything other than this? See, the church always pulls its dirty deals, but God doesn't. The White House in America under Nixon had the dirty deal boys, the plumbers and the whole bunch. It's a sign of America with the church because they've come together. But God doesn't have dirty works in His church. And He sent the greatest plumber of all. He Himself came down to them. But not really to repair a leaky boat. I think He gave us a new one. So the days of Noah came, but Enoch wasn't there. Because the Word of God overtook him. This morning, brother, sister, let me tell you this. The Word of God overtook Jesus Christ as He lay in the grave. The Word of God overtook Job as he lay there in gases and ashes. There's any ashes left. The Word of God overtook Elijah. It overtook Enoch. The same Word of God for this hour is overtaking us. Believe it or not, because it's already started in the overtaking. And after the overtaking comes the upper taking. And it's all there by the voice of Almighty God. Who will stand and say, I am the voice of God? Nobody can stand that except God Himself. And He vindicates His presence on the scene and uses a man. You say, Brother Vail, then do you believe when Brother Branham comes back, he'll do great things? I don't know what he'll do, but I'll tell you one thing. We're going to have resurrection faith. Whatever he does is his business. That's God's business, isn't it? But I know one thing. We have today shout faith. Let that percolate in our hearts and minds and give us the spiritual resurrection which precedes immediately the physical, which shall soon be here, all by the word of Almighty God. But brother, sister, it is later than you and I think. The hands of the clock, as we did this morning, maybe last night, turn it back, turn it forward. The hands of the clock have already swung forward. Time and eternity are blending that much more. The physical is giving way to the spiritual. And by the grace of God, we are soon going to see Brother Branham and our loved ones come out of the dust and stand with us, get our change. Yes, at that time, we'll see them, we'll know them. Whether the world does, I don't know. It's a possibility. But I know one thing, we will see them. Brother Benson, that sweep comes over us, and we're taken away. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank You for the hour we spent together studying Your Word, Lord. And we petition You now, Father, that we will carry our enthusiasm and our consecration out of this place, Lord, the rest of our days. We believe, Father, without a doubt, that something was done in the hearts of people last night. I don't know, but I just feel, Lord, that I can say that to you in the presence of this people, because I felt it before. And I believe, Lord God, on the same premise, that there is going to be a change in everyone this morning too, though it might be infinitesimal. I hope it's not. I hope it is great. And I hope, Lord, not one of us shall miss it. And Lord, I think concerning myself how tragic it would be if I were here preaching the truth, and then Paul himself saying you might be a castaway if you don't watch your step, disapproved. We saw how Barnabas, Lord, folded. He wasn't heard from again. But the Apostle Paul went on to victory, to a glorious death, waiting for a glorious resurrection, glorious homecoming, glorious presentation, a future reign of glory. Father, help us to esteem you. You present this morning, you in our midst, help us to know you and esteem you, and to know the words of your mouth, and cherish those words and place them in our hearts and our minds, until those words which have already begun to overcome us and overtake us literally do more and more, O God. We in faith, Lord, believing more and more to see the more and more, shine more and more to that perfect day that we will know each other in that spirit and be known of each other in that spirit, even to the extent that others not with us may know it also, and your holy name be glorified. Lord, I wouldn't want to ask for anything more than that. I know that healing's a nice little feature, but I know, Lord, that if we get strengthened in the inner man the way we should be strengthened, we could all be healed, but we would have a strength, Lord, that just wouldn't matter. With life or death, we glorify you, no matter what it is. And so we're looking, Lord, for that great stability we've seen today in your word, O God. And we thank you for it as partakers of your grace, Lord. Bless each one now. May there not be sick amongst us. We pray that as the prophet prayed it. It's a good prayer, we know, because he prayed it. And go with them, Lord, as they go. And if we should come back together again and have another little time, which unexpectedly this meeting much bigger than we would even anticipate at all, we wish to thank you, Lord, for everyone that comes to hear and have fellowship. We come again together, Lord. May it be by the same people with a greater growth in the love and wisdom and understanding, that word overtaking them, overcoming them more and more until the perfect day. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior, world without end. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.